I wanna be a billionaire, I ain't getting no sleep, till I see a milli every week. I wanna be a billionaire, I ain't getting no sleep, till I see a billy every week. I wanna be a billionaire, billionaire, I wanna be a billionaire.
Ladies and gentlemen, how you doing? Welcome to another episode of Sleep is for Billionaires, the podcast. I am your host, Johnny Vegas. Now today, ladies and gentlemen, you in for a treat. I got a special guest on my show. This man is a SAG actor, stunt performer, and the founder of the nonprofit organization Bikes Over Banging. Ladies and gentlemen, Quarter T.
Good to meet you, man. Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me today.
Thank you for coming through, brother.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? I appreciate your existence, man. I see what you're doing out there, man. You definitely moving the way you want in your own direction, bro, and you're making a positive change.
Stand in my lane, man. Definitely stand in my own lane, dude. And it's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
you look like you're having fun, man. You look good, man.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. There's no traffic over here, man.
Hey. So
I get to move and maneuver and do my thing, bro.
That's what's up, man. Well, the concept of this show is to get insider information for those looking to want to be in your position. So you as an actor, stunt performer, and a nonprofit organization founder, you know, I want you to shed light on the entrepreneurial side of things that helped you start this business and plans to maintain for the near future. But before we get started on that, where you from?
I'm from L.A., man.
Okay, Watson, born and raised?
Born and raised, man. I got the towers on my arm.
Okay.
You know, it's a little dark, but you know, I've been tanning lately.
Yeah, okay. You've been traveling.
Yeah, most definitely. But yeah, I'm from Watson, man. That's pretty much the basis on my program, Bikes Over Banging. When people hear it, you know, if you're familiar with L.A. culture, it's cut and dry. Like, you understand it. When I say the names of other cultures, or people that don't really understand, they think banging as you know, females.
Exactly.
So it's funny, you know, like, mostly like the Caucasian descent always hit me like, yeah, banging, dude. Then I'm like, nah, dude, banging, like, Bloods, Crips. They're like, oh, yeah, that's crazy. So are you a gang? I'm like, nah, I mean, I'm not a gang member. You know, I have friends with affiliates, and like, and that's another thing too, that one of the first questions that comes about when people ask me about Bikes Over Banging, like, do I get any like negative feed from it being Bikes Over Banging? Like, oh, so what? Like, am I like talking down on gang members? I'm like, a lot of the times when the people that I know that are in gangs, and not that they was forced into, but it's just like a product of their environment. And I feel like I'm a product of my environment as well, but I just chose a different route. You know what I mean? Like, my dad put a bike in front of me at a young age, and then that was my motivation. That was the carrot on the stick, so to speak, metaphor of what kept me in a direction that, you know, not to say that I didn't go off, you know, off the path a couple times or a few times, you know, I just been blessed enough that I'm still here and I made it, you know, I made it to that point or to this point. And so it's like, with the whole concept of Bikes Over Banging, originally, I just saw the influence that I carried in my community, and I saw that how I was able to redirect a lot of the energy by just hopping on my bike and just doing what I was doing, you know, tricks. And, you know, I would see people that would normally be focused on, like, looking hold down a block for a minute, that split second that they see me, like, oh, you know, what's this? Oh, you know, I'm entertaining them.
It just
changed, and I started looking at it, and I was like, how could I capitalize on this, you know, in a positive sense?
Right.
And then I was doing rides, like sport bike rides, street bike rides, dirt bike rides, with all these different styles of bikes, even mini bikes. Like 2013 is like one of the, like, that's when I started it. But even before that, I didn't have the name, but I had the concept, you know, and the concept always came from, I believe, like, the way that my dad raised me and my brother. So, you know, he always told us, you know, if you want this, then you can't be affiliated or jump into this, because this is going to, you know, cancel out what this really is, which is bikes. So, you know, fast forward to back to 2013, you know, I was pretty much had like the streets on lock when it come to when I throw like a street bike ride or dirt bike, just a ride, a big ride out, similar to the ones that you would catch on the East Coast. You know, these dudes, I was a dude, and I feel like, you know, still am the dude when it come to riding on the West Coast. But, you know, now that there's a lot of other riders, younger riders, you know, that I feel, you know, I've been able to influence in a positive sense to do something positive with it, what they have, their power, you know what I mean? You got a lot of power when you're in the street, so you can always use it for good or bad. And I think, like, for me, I was like, I played the superhero role, you know what I mean? Like, I felt like I could be a superhero and not a villain in them. You know, I could have took it and been like, yo, it's bikes and banging, bikes, and, you know, like, it could have been that. But I was like, yo, nah, because then it counts a lot. Us trying to get to the next level, and
yeah, make that change.
Yeah, yeah, make the change. And I just saw that, like, as I was doing more things in my life with bikes, how much, you know, God was blessing me with opportunities. And I was just like, y'all need to be able to pass these opportunities down to the next generation. So before it was like, let me get some of the people that are already wrapped up and stuff and try to unravel them in it. But it was just harder to break through with someone who was like, you know, 10, 15 years in the game, and they game bang. It's like,
yeah.
And I didn't have at the time a solution. It's, you know, if you're going to tell somebody stop doing something, you need to have an alternative.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, I don't really have an alternative. I'm creating that right now. So the best thing for me was like, yo, I could focus on trying to help these, you know, adults and help people. And I did, you know, I still do help, you know, a lot of adults, but my focus, changed. It went to the youth. I was like, yo, I might not be able to redirect, you know, the older people that have are adults that have made decisions already.
Right.
I can't really steer them that much because I can't really tell them, hey, yo, you can do this now. You can do this. Because they got, you know, you get dudes that got felonies or are they in positions, they got cases and stuff like that. And not to say that it's impossible, but I was like, yo, how could I be more impactful in my community? I was like, the kids. So I started focusing on just the youth and just different neighborhoods. I was able to get a bunch of different kids from different places and then bringing them together. And the kids that would normally not be affiliated or associated with each other from different neighborhoods because of, you know, whatever gang or whatever it may be, territory, whatever it may be, stuff that happened before they were even born and stuff that they might not be like, I'm not messing with them because of it's an unwritten law, you know, in the street. So it's like, yo, to not break the law, but the unwritten law, but like rewrite it. Like that's what's like, yo, nah, we gonna come together. And then, you know, my power that I used was like, yo, like, they're like, oh, you dope, you nice on the bike.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you can do that too. You can be nice too. Oh, I want to. All right, well, this is what you have to do. You know, I started laying down guidelines for them to do it. And the ones that really stay dedicated are the ones that are still with me now, you know, and their parents are big influences. And I think that, like, it made a big path for what we call Bikes Over Mania now.
Right.
You know, because now these kids are, you know, 3-4 years in, you know, with me as a mentor.
Right.
And it changed their life. I can see a lot of change in their lives as a character, how they, you know, what their goals and what their dreams are, you know, as opposed to when I met them and I asked them questions like that. Now you ask them, I'm like, yo, it's a total different thing. And I mean, obviously they've matured and got older, so stuff changes. But I think that the stuff that I've been able to expose them to has had a big impact on that too.
That's great, man. Like I said, I think that your organization is the start to change the narrative as far as the perception that people have on gangbanging, you know, and that whole culture, you know, because people see it, like you said, the Caucasian, they might look at it and just be like, oh, only think about violence and shit like that. You want to at least steal the narrative to be like, nah, we're more than that, you know.
Way more. Yeah.
So, you know, and what do you think that comes from, though, as far as like that perception that people have on gangbang culture? Instead of it just being a brotherhood of what it is.
Because of the real life, like, definition of it, you know, that's written, you know, what gangbanging is. And I can't sit here and say, like, oh, gangbanging is a negative. There's a lot of negative things that come from it. But when you go back and you retract the steps of history, you know, it was created, you know, gangs were created to keep, you know, our minority communities together and have a structure for them to have something to lean on. Because as you can see now, the, you know, the corruption in law enforcement, you know, it's never been 100%, you know, worked in our favor. So to keep that or keep some type of balance between that, you know, they created a blood, they created a crip that was symbols in the community so that would back our civil rights, that would back stuff so that when you have people that would come in and try to just abuse and do things that were, you know, positive on our community, they would stand in. And along the way,
it went to something else. And a lot of that, if you look, like, you know, shout out to Snowfall, which is one of my favorite shows too. Mm-hmm. That you, if you look at that, you can see that, like, that had a big influence, meaning the drug, when they brought that the crack epidemic yeah. into our, you know, and I was a victim of that myself, you know, growing up in LA. You know, my mom was on crack for like years, bro, over 10, 15 years.
I'm sorry to hear that. I can't even imagine that.
Yeah, yeah. So I was affected directly by that. And with that, you know, I didn't go.
She good now, though, right?
Nah, she good. My mom is a business owner. She's like a hustler. She's always been a hustler, but, you know, she's been able to clean up her life, and she's major part of my life. And, you know, I love her. I've been loving my mom even when she was doing what she was doing. You know, like they say, it's an illness once they get on it. But I'm glad she was able to beat that. But that derailed what Bloods and Crips really stood for at that time. And then it became something else. I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and go through the whole history. Y'all can watch the history of Bloods and Crips. And you'll
watch
see
the Tukey movie or something like that.
Yeah, go watch that and then you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about. But I feel like with the whole outbreak of negativity that was instilled into our community with that, I think that for me, I look back at it and I'm like, yo, I gotta get back to the root of that. You know, people don't see that, what it really was, you know, and like you said, why do people have that stigma? I mean, look at the movies, look at everything that's revolved around it. And, you know, everyone knows that it's true that negative attention has a broader reach and effect compared to positive.
Right.
And I noticed that a lot of times too, even with my program being a positive program, like I'll see something come up that hasn't even been nowhere near as concrete as what we have, and I'll see that get so much attention. But, you know, it's so harder for me to get that same attention and get that same response to helping something positive. I mean, of course it's discouraging at times, but I think I just use that and I recycle that energy to motivating me to.
Yeah. You got to be fueled to the fire, man, at all times, brother.
Yeah, no doubt.
This game could get very discouraging.
Oh,
especially
man.
When things don't go your way, but that rent still coming every 30 days. It's like,
for real,
shit.
Man. Like, that's that right there is one of the biggest things, man. Like, and even my own dad, you know, at times, like, before I became who I am now, I would always hear that from him. Like, he didn't 100% back my dreams. He was like, you know, I remember not too long ago, and he was like, man, you on these bikes, you need to figure your life and do something that, you know, that's going to pay your bills or something, because you're spending so much money and you're putting so much into this, but what are you going to do with this? Like,
wanted you to have that stability.
No, I know. I definitely understand it. And I did. I understood that then, but I was like, yo, like, my passion is deeper than that. Like, I'm not, you know, my dad worked for the city. He's getting ready to retire. And that's good. That's a good job.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I could have been in that so long ago. Like, I could have been into that, but I just, it wasn't for me.
Right.
And I told him that. I was like, yo, that ain't for me, man. I'm not a 9-to-5 kind of dude. And he's just like, you know, and I'm like, we live in a different age where you can create. You just got to be as dedicated and as productive as, you know, you would be on a 9-to-5, but you know, you actually have to be more, because it's not a guaranteed check. You know, you go do these hours. Like, I'm here at this interview. That don't mean I'm not getting paid for this. No disrespect to you, but I'm here. We here to do something that's going to be bigger than a paycheck. That may land a paycheck. You know, it's the same thing. But I look at it like, you know, when he told me that, it was just like, nah. You know, I had to actually go out on my own feelings and my own, you know, judgment. And I mean, I'm here now. And even now when I talk to him, he's like, yo, I mean, to see where I'm at now, he's like, yo, I'm proud of it. I would have never thought of that, you know, or I would have never pictured it, because I didn't have the vision. And you stay with your vision. And my dad, you know, he had me at a young age. He wasn't super young. He was like 20 or 21 or something like that when he had me. So, but he's like, yo, grind mode. He switched on to grind mode. My dad was heavily into the bike scene, you know, the drag race scene, the dirt bike scene.
Oh, so that's where you got it from.
Yeah, my dad put me onto this, man. Like, no doubt, man. My dad and then my uncle Hassan put me into another
they still ride now?
My dad still does. My dad does a lot of the same stuff that I do.
Okay.
And he just does it on a weekend warrior type of thing. He don't do it on the regular.
Y'all doing the like father son events kind of thing?
Not events, but we do kind of like I usually do like a big camp trip for my birthday. I usually go out to like El Mirage because like it's not as restricted when it comes to having certain stickers on your bike to like green sticker registration. Like, a lot of the homies from the hood don't have all that.
Yeah. You know
what I mean? So I can't pick certain places to go ride because it's going to cut down that circle and I want everybody to be able to experience it. It's a flat, dry lake bed. So you don't have to have too many skills to actually get on the dry lake bed. We take trips around the area where there's trails and stuff for the ones that have more skill. But like, that's one of the father son trips that we do. And then, we do like Memorial Day and stuff like that, and then I have a toy hauler, which is like a RV that you hook up to the back of a truck,
right?
And then you can put all your toys in and close it up, and then take them out, set up shop inside, AC, everything, and you just pretty much like a mobile home. So we usually take that, and then it gives the kids that I mentor a chance to experience another side of life. So I think that's one thing that we do a lot together. So.
Now, that's cool, man. So where did the acting come up in all of this, you know? Because it sounded like you were bred to do what you're doing now, which is ride bikes and sort of do that.
That came about because once I started to get into the movie side of things and being a stuntman.
Oh, so you started first in the movies as a stuntman, not as an actor.
Yeah, as a stuntman. Okay. And then, they'll throw you some parts and see if you can do it. Like when I just did Bad Boys 3,
congrats on that.
Thank you. They threw us some lines, just not even scripted. Just, hey, you say this, say that, do that. So gun in my hand, yo, you gotta say our lines.
You got that sack bump?
Yeah, of course, man. Yeah, like that right there was a different too, because like, first movie I did was Straight Outta Compton. Shout out to F. Gary Gray too for blessing me with the opportunity to work on Straight Outta Compton with me and a couple of my other homies that, ride bikes. They had us
dressed up. So this is the beginning scene when they were coming through the street?
We had us dressed up like Crips. We were rolling on the sidewalk, Willie and doing all that.
Yeah. So okay.
That was us. And that came from F. Gary Gray because I worked with him on a Nissan gig back in the day. Before I started doing bike stuff, I was working on cars.
Okay.
I started working on cars. Well, I was a technician
at
a company that did, it's called Car Prep, which is like, you take cars to set, you pretty much babysitting the cars, making sure that they don't get damaged, and you're working for manufacturers directly, third party through the company that I worked through, but, I'm working with the art, the art department, art director, directors, whoever is in charge of creating the content for ad agency. So I'm working with all these different people, and, we're doing a commercial for Nissan, and it was like a bike carrier running through the streets, and then like it's like I want to say alert system for like a side alert system, so just look over your shoulder, see a bike carrier passing through,
right?
And it was just like it was bikes in it, so obviously that was kind of like a big thing in the commercial. We had all these bikers, and I was like talking to Gary about bikes, and then obviously. For me, whenever I meet people, I'm always networking, trying to tell them what I'm doing and maybe seeing if there's some type of opportunity. And he was like, yo, let me see that. Like, showed him a video with me and a couple of the homies. Not a couple, like probably like LA. It was 300 bikes on a 110 freeway. And he's like, how the hell you get all these bikes? And he like, yo, I'm seeing Bloods, Crips, homies. Like, oh, how you get all these dudes to ride together? And I'm like, through the power of bikes, bro. Like, that's why it's called Bikes Over Banging. And once you explain that and they come, once somebody comes with that and knowing that that's the concept, you got to respect it or just you can't come around. And so you see how many people, they ain't going to just let one, two people come in and think that they're going to say, nah, fuck that.
Yeah.
It's not going down. So now it's more respect. Mm-hmm. And everybody in this thing is like the common enemy at that point is, I hate to say it's the police because you don't want to get shut down. You don't want to get ran over. So now we sticking together. We got helicopters on us. We got... it's so many different variables when it comes to what bike life is. And, you know, from the East Coast to the West Coast, it's just us trying to enjoy riding our bikes because we inner city kids with nowhere to ride.
Right.
And I think that that's, like, one of the biggest things about, you know, bike life. But back to what, you know, me meeting Gary, talking to him, and he's a big guy, bike guy. He knew a couple of people that I knew. And I was, you know, we got into conversations about it. And he was like, yo, man, I'm doing a project coming up. You should be in it. You know, blah, blah, blah. And he went back and did his research and hollered at his people. Just because somebody say they know a person, he like, let me see if you know. He hit up. They like, yo, homie nice. He be in the hood all the time. He come to our events. I know who he is. And he like, oh, okay. So, you know, 6 months later, I get a call from Christopher Gray, which is a casting director. And he called me and we talked over the phone. And they told me I needed to get bikes from the 80s. So I had to go, you know, resource bikes and transportation and getting riders. So it was like I pretty much became a coordinator at that point.
Okay.
And to getting all that stuff, and we did the job. And it was crazy because, like, in the actual scene of Shredder the Compton, you won't even see me in the actual cut because we shot so much.
Yeah.
And you know, you look at such a small spot of what they use. They wanted a lower light when they use the actual footage. Like, I did some stuff with them and I'm like, all right, cool, I'm in the movie. And I'm still in the movie credits, I'm still in all that stuff, but it's just like I didn't get the actual shot. You see, oh yeah, I could say that's me.
Yeah.
Because they use a later cut. But it still was dope. And the reason that happened was because I got that. The movie was shot like a day before I got married.
Oh, congrats on that.
Thank you. So we shot the movie. It was crazy because I had to fly to Hawaii because I got married in Hawaii. So I flew to Hawaii.
Yeah, Maui?
Honolulu.
Me and my brother just came from Honolulu.
Yeah, it's dope. Yeah, we did a show out there later on too, so it's on our page on Bikes Over Banging.
Good stuff.
We'll get the content for that. So
there you go. But we're everywhere. Look at them.
So I had to fly out, wifey, fam. We flew out to Hawaii. I got to Hawaii, went to the courtroom, got all our paperwork for the weekend, flew back to LA. I got back literally like 2 hours before a call. I had to go pick up everything, get to set. We started, you know, setting up, getting, you know, shot. Then I had to fly out that same day. So, you know, as the lights dropping, it's like, yo, I gotta go. I have to hop on this plane.
Yeah.
You know, I got all the footage on GoPro. I'll probably release it.
That's what's up. That right there is like, I'm about to get married, but I still gotta work. But
yeah, you know, and I still made it happen. And it was crazy. I was like, you better make it back. Like, you know, and I'm like, damn. And I think at that time, too, it was like a hurricane or something that was coming in. So I was like, I had to fly before that. So it definitely was a lot of variables in that whole equation as well.
Yeah.
But I was able to make that happen and then did the movie, which kind of gave me a foot in the door to being a, you know, SAG stunt performer. And then from there, I just went, you know, just kept doing networking and getting more jobs to get me qualified, more for SAG to be a part of the union. And then I was just, you know, I had a lot of people that helped me along the way. And, you know, shout out to my mentor, Jay Lynch.
Okay.
Jay Lynch, he's a phenomenal dude. One of the first black stunt performers for movies. I could sit here and do my whole interview on him. But it's not like, you know, you just got to Google him. Go on IMDb and check him out. He's been in over 200 and some films.
But, oh, man, you need to give him a call and tell him to come through and get an interview.
He should be here. I just saw on his story, he's coming back from doing Fast and Furious 9. So
okay.
He'll be back soon. I see, you know.
Also, they moving. The series still going. I thought Hobbs and Shaw was a spinoff and they going, okay.
Nah. They finishing that up right now. Well, he just finished his set up and there. He was out in Tablish, I can't even pronounce it. Y'all see
Bangladesh,
possibly. Something over there.
Yeah, something over there.
Some shit I can't pronounce.
That shit ain't hit.
Nah. But yeah, he that dude does bikes. He does cars. He's a major influence in my life, man. And hope to be, you know, one day to be that great. You know what I mean? When it comes to being a stunt performer and just holding the integrity that he holds and not being like, you would meet him dudes worth millions, but you wouldn't even know. He's just super humble, down to earth, and you know, we've bonded so much over the last couple of years. Just, you know, his daughter drives as well. Shout out Brianna Lynch too. She's another black stunt performer in the game. She did Taraji's part in Proud Mary.
Yeah.
She was a driver in the car. She did Black Panther. She was a driver in the car. She did a bunch of other stuff. I can't really.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good.
But yeah, but that those are people and influences that, you know, kind of give me an outline on, you know, what the next step is for me. You know, like now I'm venturing into like drifting. I got a car now. So I'm building up a drift car and going to be pretty much testing the waters. Not testing, but I already took it out. Just know I needed to build some stuff and put some stuff on it to getting that done. But like, I mean, my plans is to be more than just the bike scene, you know, because I feel like I had the opportunity. Why not take advantage of it?
So what is the ultimate goal? You know, because we talked a little downstairs that you've setting yourself up for success to get to the master plan. So what is the master plan for your movement?
For Bikes Over Banger, man, I honestly want to have I want to be able to facilitate riders and facilitate people like myself. So that it isn't as hard to get into what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Like it was a lot of work to get where I'm at, and I'm still not, you know, in a place where I can say, yo, I'm consistent. I'm doing, you know, I'm still hard working.
Right.
I'm working hard. But I want to be able to facilitate the riders like the kids that I mentor. I've been able to get them in some projects as well. Was it Harley Davidson, I want to say? Yeah, Harley Davidson, I did things like Live the Legends or Legends campaign that they mm-hmm. did. So I did a commercial where one of the kids played me as a kid. It's like black kid and like two white kids, one girl, one boy, and then a black little kid. He's on the pedal bike. They pedaling bikes. They all racing. And then you see and then it kind of pans into the wheel, and the wheel's spinning and turns into a Harley wheel. And then they pan out, and it's, you know, the two white riders that, you know, grew up to be Harley riders, and then it's me, black rider that grew up to be a rider as well, and then go past. So I was able to get him a spot in that. He's and that helped him get into like some quick and long commercials, and now he's pretty much up for whatever, you know, like he's able to get into. He has his foot in the door, and then another a couple other kids too. They, you know, have them do auditions and just open up the doors. That's kind of like what my plan is for everything. Obviously, merchandise, all that stuff we have as well. But really, the ultimate goal is just to create a lane for us, you know, and not just black, but just, you know, inner city minority people that don't have the resources to become something other than what we see all the time, like rapping or ball playing. And nothing wrong with that, but there's other things out there, and bikes was that for me. You know, I've always called myself, or I always like to refer myself to like the Mike Jordan of the bike game.
For sure.
I mean, my icon on my Instagram is me stretched out like Mike Jordan on my bike.
I feel
like, to me, that's what it is for me. You know, I didn't have a ball in my hand, I had a throttle in my hand, so like that's what life is for me, you know. It's bike life on my fingers, you know. That's what life is for me.
Have you ever fell? Like,
what was the
worst accident that you ever had on these bikes? Because I feel like
I didn't have a bicycle when I was a kid.
Fuck that.
I almost died, like, right here when you exit off the 10. You know, I was on a bike night ride, which is like Wednesday night bike night. And this is when I was on my street bike, coming into a corner hot, downshifted to like second, coming in hot. And it was a kid that was following me, and he didn't have as much skill, you know, and he saw me and he was just on me, like, oh, he kind of racing me. And I'm like, all right, so I guess he got this. I'm going into this corner, I'm doing like 65, 70, and the corner's rated at 30. So I'm going double the speed, you know, I know how to handle it. I see this kid comes past me, and I'm already into locked in, and I'm like, I'm in the apex and everything. I see him, and he starts to go straight to the wall because he didn't lean in. He didn't line it up. And boom, he hit the side. So you know the 10 freeway. Uh-huh. You coming from the 10, you going east, and you going like right by. You transferring from the 10 to the 110.
To the median. It's like a median there or something.
Nah, like it turns right by the convention center.
Okay.
Where Pico and all that is. Okay. And you know how like it's like, say this is a circle. You're coming from the 10, and it turns like this, and then boom, you're going to the 110.
Right.
Towards Hollywood.
Okay.
Towards the 101.
Okay.
So before you make that transition, we coming around this corner, and I'm right here. He hits the bounces off the wall, and he still got a lot of momentum. So he gets on the gas still, and there's a car.
Oh,
and there's a car about to T-bone him. So I let up. I I let up and I'm like brush against the car and push him out the way. He hit the wall and kind of lined the wall, but then I go to get back up, like to bring my bike back up, and then it just loses traction as I'm exiting out of the turn. So then my bike slides all the way down to 110. I'm sliding down to 110 too, flipping. All I see is like lights. I see red lights, white lights, red lights, and I'm flipping. And then as it stops, I slide and stop. My bike is all the way up there, and I stop, and I'm like, here's a car's white headlights, and it's me. And I'm like, oh, damn, I almost got hit. Luckily, in that ambulance came through. They were already in the traffic because it was traffic. Picked me up, you know, checked out my scars. I wasn't too badly beat up. Homies have a pickup truck. They always ride with us in bike night just in case something like that happened. They put my bike in. I went to bike night. And that's like one of many of crashes that I had on the street. But I just remember that's one that I like really saw, you know, light flashes.
Yeah,
dude. But like, I didn't broke both ankles before. I just got off a broken ankle. Like, I had my whole summer, I was in a cast. And then this summer, recently, I just got out of a cast to a boot to like, you know, like now I'm still walking. I'm still doing rehab for that. That's why you see me, you know, at the gym, I'm getting back to normal, but that's my life, dude. Like, we do so much dangerous things. It's just like, you know, even with Bad Boys, we had crashes, we had dudes break collarbones. I mean, that's part of the stunt.
I guess it comes with the territory, man. You know what you're signing up for, so you gotta just expect
it. But I mean, I look at it like, man, I was doing this in the hood for free.
Right.
You know what I mean? Now I get to get paid to do something that, you know, that I love to do. And then, like I said, I was doing it for free. Not to say that it's not worth what it's worth now. It's been worth that, but now I've been able to tap into a network and a system that allows me to continue to build on my skill and utilize it to, you know, to its full potential, and hopefully build that to bring other people along with me,
kids
and whoever. But that's really the basis behind Bikes Over Banging, is that, to be able to display and present and to capitalize on what we have to bring. That's what Bikes Over
is. That's what it is, brother. I mean, like I said, I love the movement, you know, and I appreciate the movement, you know, for what the positive change is looking to make for the grand scheme of things, you know. But you sound like a workaholic, you know, stunt master. I mean, what does Quarter T do to unwind? What do you do to chill? I mean, you got the wife.
Watch my son do his thing, man. It gives me a lot of joy watching the kids do their thing, watching them accomplish goals. And I mean, I'm regular, bro. Like, just a hood dude. I chill. Like, I chill with some of my homies. Like, we just talked earlier, you know, some of the same people we know, you know, celebrity dudes. Yeah, you know, like,
shout out to Fetty Wap and the Grit, man. RGF.
Yeah, my brother.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's it,
my
man.
Brother.
Yeah,
that's what he did.
Yeah, my brother.
Baby!
But that's it, man. Hanging out and just, you know, enjoying times, man. Enjoying the time that I got here, man. Because, you know, you never know, man, when your time's up. But I feel like, you know, it can't always be all work. You know, you got to enjoy what you build to. Mm-hmm. Enjoy the fruits of your labor. And I think that that's it, man. And then knowing when it's time to get back in the trenches. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm doing now, preparing to get back into the trenches. I mean, not to say I got out of them, but, you know, getting in the deep part now to where, you know, it's a lot of risk, but, you know, the benefits.
The rewards, you know, there's no reward without the risk.
Yeah, risk of the rewards. Shout out to Nip Hustle, man. Got to balance it out.
Yeah,
I see the scale tipping on me, so I got to get it.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, RIP Nip Hustle, the Mad Don continues. Straight up, baby. Man.
Yeah, I got the dedication bike that I did. My 450 race bike, I just put a bunch of all money in on it. And I worked with him a few times. I mean, we did the store release and, you know, having conversations. And I was connected back to him before, you know, a lot of the fame. Because my homie Nigel, rest in peace, and I lived on 60th Street. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, and all, like, his whole team, all the 60s, all of them, like, I was able to get or touch in touch with them before, you know, it got big to where it's like more mainstream, but they still who they are, but it's just like a lot of mainstream now. But before that, I was able to get, I remember Nye calling me, like, yo, because we started off on like little 50 bikes. We had street bikes, but we bought 50s, like little Honda 50s, and made them into little stunt bikes to practice and get tricks down. And I started mastering that. I killed it, and he bought one, my homie Nigel. I would go over his house to help him work on it. And then once he got set up and we started doing little shows, I was able to get a sponsorship from LRG. You know, shout out to Jonas, rest in peace, Jonas. And that's like some of my early, you know, ventures into networking. But he introduced me to Nip back then when he was doing like music, and I didn't really know who he was like that. You know, I just knew the '60s. I remember him calling, Nye calling me like, come through, bring your bike. And I'm like, man, the '60s needs to be snatching this shit. Like, I ain't gonna go over there and my bike took. Like, you know, he like, man, you over here with me, man. I'm like, you know, everybody needs to tell you that, but I'm like, all right, I'll pull up.
They got no pull.
He like, man, yeah. So I pull up and it's just like that. You know, Nye was that dude. You know, and he's pulling up, oh, cuz, who is this? Cuz, nice. I thought you was the hardest Nye. He's like, nah, my boy Quarter T put me on. And like, cuz, he all the niggas that was over there, and they just always show love. And now I am where I am now. It's like, man, damn, cuz, you still doing this shit. You still out here representing. Like, you know, I remember getting calls from my homie JT, like, yo, pull up. You know, like, I'm on the block. You know, I'm on Madden with BH. Like, pull up on the bike. And I took the electric bike over there when I was sponsored by Alta. Mm. I took the bike over there and let BH hop on. He like, cuz, what's this? Cuz, this motherfucker, this electric, cuz? Like, put it on the power mode, low power mode. He like, damn. I put it on the high one. He like, oh, cuz, all right, give me one of these. Like, this motherfucker, they can't even hear it. I'm like, you know, but that was like relationship. That's why I say network is the biggest part of life, man. Right. If you can't be scared to speak, you can't be afraid to, like, get out here and touch and talk to people. You know what I mean? You hit me up about this interview, you know, I just hit Will like, yo, you know, pull up, we're gonna go do this interview. And I didn't even really, we had talked like that, but I'm like, yo, I do interviews all day. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's a networking opportunity, so I pulled up, you know, like, and that's just what it is, man. Especially in LA, it's a lot of opportunity, and I know that I got the upper hand on a lot of the dudes that are on the East Coast. And even when I look at my social network following, I got like 20,000 followers or whatever, but I look at a lot of the East Coast dudes, they got like 120,000, and they reach out to all these people, but they reaching out to people that they can't really do nothing but like your picture and do stuff. I look at my 20,000, I got so many people that I know that are in the industry that are like, that have a lot of pull different places. So to me, it's like, yo, your networking really, it's not who you know. I mean, it's not what you know, it's who you know, and then what and who they know. So it's like, now I see my hands being able to extend more. It's just, now it's me focusing on tapping into that to utilize it, to bring it all of it together.
Right.
So that I can do this, you know, like, I just won a poker game. That's how I feel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I can bring these chips in and, you know, start branching them out to the right people.
Right.
You know what I mean, that's around me and surrounding me. And
stuff. Like they say, your network is your net worth.
Nah, man.
That's a big fact.
For real, for real.
But shit, man, I want to thank you for coming through, my brother.
Oh, man.
You gave a lot of information, man. And I wish you much success with Bike Up and Banging, man. I think, like I said, it's definitely a step forward to change the perception on gang banging culture, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Take We're a major thing. Influence on a lot of it, bro. I mean, you can see from everything that always goes viral and big, this negative stuff that comes from us. It's like, man, what you think influenced, you know, everybody in the hood to be who we are? It's just that.
Right.
You know, like, you know, I'm here to get a positive side of it, so I'm going to continue to do so.
As you're doing, man. Keep up the great work, yes, man. Sir. I want to thank y'all for tuning in to another episode of Sleep is for Billionaires, the podcast. I am your host, Johnny Vegas, the boy Quarter T. Let the people know where they can follow you.
Hey, man, you can follow me at Quarter MFNT. That's KORTAMFNT. And if you want to get more information about Bikes Over Banging, you can follow us and check us out. www.bikesoverbanging.com. And it's the same for our Instagram, BIKES. BANGN, and that's the at in front, and Instagram, man. Check us out.
There it is, man. Sleep is for Billionaires, the podcast. Make sure you subscribe, because I need it, goddamn.
We need that.
All right, we out of here, man.
Let's get it.
Out.